Lungs, heart. Now, what do you notice about the location of that heart? It's in the middle of the chest, but I thought the heart was on the left side. I mean, haven't you learned that since you were a kid? Do the Pledge of Allegiance. Come on, good. Why you put your hand over here on the left side? Because that's where my heart is. Well, your heart is not over here. Where's your heart? It's smack dab in the center of the chest. But note that it is pointed toward the left. So the heart is actually in the middle of the chest, pointed a little bit towards the left side. Now, notice how close the lungs are to the heart. They are touching. Now, a lot of people, when we start talking about different kinds of circulation and the relationship of the heart and the lungs, a lot of people think that they're out here. They're like, you have to pump to the lungs and then back. No, it pumps. It's this big. Do like this. As big as, yeah. That's how far your heart is having to pump to your lungs. So that's the other thing I want you to understand, is that the heart and the lungs are very close together, not a lot of distance between them. All right, so the location and shape of the heart. We said it's in the middle of the chest, pointing toward the left. The skin over the area of the heart is known as the precordium. Now, the base is the top of the heart, and the apex is the bottom. Now, say again? It's the skin of the chest over the heart area. Now, if you think of a pyramid for a moment, go ahead, think of a pyramid. Where is the apex? At the top. Where's the base? At the bottom. Now, the heart is a pyramid kind of laying on its side and a little bit downwards. So this is actually the apex, and this is the base. So it's kind of like a cattywampus pyramid. That's a great word. Now, great vessels of the heart. There are four sets, anyway, of great vessels. We have the superior and the inferior vena cava. They come in from the back side of the heart. On which side, left or right? On the right side of the heart. So from the inferior cava, it'll go through the atrium into the right ventricle and then out the pulmonary artery. It'll go through the lungs, back through the pulmonary veins. From the pulmonary veins, it will go into the left atria, then into the left ventricle, and then out the aorta and to the rest of the body. And then it'll come back again through the superior and inferior vena cava. You need to be able to draw that little drop of blood through the heart, through the body, and know which arteries and veins are going through, and eventually the valves. You should already know the valves, but so let's talk about valves. All right, so this back here is our inferior vena cava. In this picture, you can't see the superior. So it would come in and would get emptied into... This is the superior right there, yeah. All right, so it gets emptied into the right atrium. Goes through this valve called the tricuspid valve. What's another name for this? The right atrioventricular or right AV valve. So through the tricuspid or the right AV valve, and then out the pulmonary artery. Now, and what valve is there? Not the pulmonary. It is a semilunar valve, the pulmonic semilunar valve, or sometimes it's called the pulmonic valve. Now, you can tell that humans did not design this heart. Because if a human designed the heart, we would have the blood coming in here and exiting down the bottom, right? Yeah. It doesn't make sense to us to go back up, but that's how the heart is designed. So what that does is it allows all of the valves to be kind of in a straight or semi-curved line. So all the valves are in a similar place in the heart, and the structures that support them are all kind of similarly located. Now, humans wouldn't have done it that way. We would have put down here. because that's how we think. Straight line. You go in one end, you go out the other. But God decided that we should make a sharp turn. All right, so it goes through the pulmonic valve, goes to the lungs, comes back through these little vessels, these little red guys that are called the pulmonary veins. Now, do these veins have oxygenated or unoxygenated blood? Oxygenated. So the big debate in high school, well, I think that only arteries have oxygenated blood and only veins have... No. It's the direction that they go and the structure. It has nothing to do whether the blood is oxygenated or unoxygenated. So when it comes back to the heart, pulmonary veins full of oxygen, goes into the left atrium through the bicuspid valve, also known as the mitral valve, also known as the left atrioventricular or left AV valve. So three different names for this one little guy. Then it makes a little sharp turn and it comes through the aortic semilunar valve into the aorta. And there you go. All right. Any questions about our little anatomy and physiology? What is this little part of the heart right here called? The septum. Yeah. What does the word septum mean? The wall or separator. So it's the wall that separates the left and the right sides. So the right side of the heart pumps to the lungs. The left side pumps to the body. So sometimes you'll hear the right side referred to as we call pulmonary circulation. And the left side you'll hear referred to as systemic circulation. Now, which one takes more power and strength? The left, the systemic side. So the left side of the heart is bigger and stronger. Now, let me ask you this question. Which one pumps more blood? Which one pumps more blood? Who says left? I got one left. Who says right? Oh, I got two left. Got a couple. Okay. Well, guess what? You're both wrong. Let's think about it for a moment. Now, how much blood does the heart normally pump in 1 minute? 5 liters per minute on average, whoever this average person is. All right, now let's assume that there's a 5 millimeter difference. The left heart pumps 5 millimeters more than the right heart. So, every minute. So, over time, how much blood is going to accumulate? 5 milliliters per minute times 60 minutes is... You should be able to do that one in your head. 300. 300 milliliters in 1 hour. Now, a cup. How many milliliters is a cup? 240. So more than a cup of water is already accumulated in our lungs because we just had a little 5 ml difference. Now, that's 1 hour. Over the course of 12 hours, how much would it be? 300 times 12. 3.6 liters in 24-hour period. So the point is, your left and your right side pump exactly the same amount. Just a tiny bit of a mismatch is going to lead to a huge backup of blood, which would ultimately lead to edema. Now, if the left side is the slacker, we're going to get what kind of edema? Pulmonary edema. If the right side is the slacker, we're going to get... Okay, systemic edema. And where would that systemic edema go? Down to your feet and legs. So the point is, if you have a mismatch in the heart, you're going to get edema. The left pumps to the systemic, but if it's not pumping enough, it'll back up into the lungs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
right.
Right.
If the right side slacks, it pumps to the pulmonary, but the blood is going to back up in the legs. Okay. So you have two problems. You have a forward problem and a backwards problem. And the backwards problem is what gives us the edema. All right. Okay. If this is a little bit easier for you to understand, you can use that one. All right, now layers of the heart. We have three layers to the heart. So the layer where the blood actually touches, what's that called? Endocardium. Now, the middle layer that's actually made up of muscle is called the myocardium. So myo for muscle, cardium for heart, heart, muscle. And then the outside of the heart is called the pericardium. So we have three layers. Which is the one that actually does the work? Myocardium. Now, sometimes you'll hear this term subendocardium. And what we're talking about there is the little bit of muscle wall. It's part of the myocardium, but it's the part that's closer to the endocardium. So it's the myocardium just below the endocardium. Valves, we already talked about the valves. Conductance system. How many of you here have ever been whitewater rafting? Okay, now what's the very first thing they do when you get in that raft? No, in the raft. Teach you how to what? Paddle. How do you have to paddle? But you all paddle together. Have you ever been in a raft where everyone's paddling for dear life and no one's paddling together? They're just like, I'm in this for myself. What happens to that raft? It spins and then it flips over because it doesn't go where you want to go. Now, the heart is very much like a whitewater raft. It has to all pump together or utter chaos is going to happen. Now, the pumping action is coordinated by a guide. You know, the guide says, all right, everyone left, everyone right. You know, they'll say left, forward, back, you know, whatever the commands are. They're going to say everyone pump at this time. Now, that collar for the heart is called the SA node, standing for the sinoatrial node. Now, your heart muscle doesn't have ears, so it can't just hear the command. It has to receive the command through Morse code. So there's little wires that run through your heart to deliver that message. That's called your electrical conductance system. So we start with the SA node that actually generates the call. From there, it travels to the AV node, the atrioventricular node. From there, it goes through a little relay station called the bundle of His, then through the Purkinje fibers, until finally you get to the actual myocardium. You will need to memorize this sequence. Hopefully you already have it. And it will be on a final exam coming toward you in a few weeks. Any questions about the electrical conductance system? Well, I just want you to know it starts in the SA node, then it goes throughout that process. All right, the cardiac cycle. Now, before the heart can pump something, it has to have something to pump. So in order to get that something to pump, what does the heart have to do? It has to fill up. Now, can it fill up when it's squeezed? No, so it has to relax. So the relaxation phase is called diastole. Diastole is made up of a couple different phases, but what we really have is some books break it into two, some break it up into three. I like two. The first one is called early filling, and that's passive. blood just gushes into the heart because of pressure and negative pressure. So blood just starts gushing into the heart. From the atria, just goes bloosh into the ventricles. Say bloosh. Excellent. Now, there comes a point, though, where there's still blood in the ventricles, but it's not really going into the heart anymore. It's not going into the ventricles anymore because there's so much blood in the ventricles that it just, you're like, I've had enough, thank you. I'm kind of full. So the ventricles are going to give a kick in the pants to that little bit of blood and push it into the ventricles. We call that presystole, sometimes called atrial kick. So, the two parts of diastole. We first have...
Can you say that again? I thought you said ventricle into the ventricle.
Atrial into the ventricles, sorry.
So the atrial is kicking the ventricles?
The atria kicks blood into the ventricles. So the very first part, we have relaxation, pressure... drives blood from the atria into the ventricles. It's passive.
Okay, now, are you feeling the atrium with blood?
Say again?
Are you feeling means that it's filling the atrium?
Okay. So in early filling, blood is just kind of pouring into here and just dropping into the ventricles because of pressure. But eventually there's going to be so much blood in here that the pressure here, difference between the atria and the ventricles, is going to be the same. At that point, blood really doesn't fall into the ventricles anymore. Now, there's still blood in the atria, and your body wants to use that blood. So what it's going to do is it's going to squeeze the atria and kick the blood into the ventricles. And that's called presystole. And the amount of blood that comes from presystole is known as atrial kick. Now, atrial kick is responsible for up to 25 to 30% of that volume of blood in the ventricles right before it starts to squeeze. So imagine for a moment that you have a disease where your atria don't work right. How much potential blood volume are you losing for your cardiac output? 25 to 30% of your cardiac output. Now, do you think you would feel that? What would the person feel like? Kind of weak and tired, right? People who have atrial diseases or a condition where their atria aren't functioning right are going to feel more tired. It can actually lead to heart failure. Now, once you get presystole, then we begin the true systole phase. Systole is the term for contraction of the ventricles. Now, the first thing that happens is as the atria begin to squeeze, it puts pressure on the inside of the ventricles. As that pressure increases inside, the AV valve, the mitral valve, and the tricuspid valve snap shut. And that's going to make a noise. Bump. Then pressure keeps building up and shoots it out the semilunar valve. Then right at the very end of that, it begins to relax again. And that's when the semilunar valve snaps shut to prevent blood from coming back into the heart. Whew, that was fun, wasn't it? So, when you listen to a heart, you're going to hear how many heart sounds for each cycle? 2. You're going to hear a sound when the AV valve's shut, and then you're going to hear a second sound when the semilunar valve's shut. So, in common parlance, we call that lub-dub. Personally, I don't hear love dub here, ba-boom, ba-boom. But that's just me. So, however you want to think about it, you're going to hear 2 sounds. Which one comes first? The AV valves. So, sound 1, S1, sound 1 is AV valves. It's the beginning of systole. S2, sound 2 is caused by the semilunar valves shutting. It is the end of systole or beginning of diastole. Got it? Now, do you think you need to memorize that little piece of information? Do you think you need to memorize how much blood comes from atrial kick? Yes. Now, we're not going to need it so much for this class, the atrial kick part. We will need it for pathopharm 2. So you better remember it or it's going to get kicked in the face. All right. Systole. S1 is caused by atrial valve shut. It is the beginning of systole. S2 is called semilunar valve shutting. It is the beginning of diastole. Is there a question? What is asystole? What do you think asystole means? So asystole means contraction of the heart. So if there's asystole, it's no contraction. So sometimes known as flatlining. So there's just no contraction. Now that's a little bit different than what we call fibrillation. Fibrillation is when they just quiver like this. So your heart is supposed to do this, squeeze, squeeze. If it doesn't do anything, that's called asystole. And if it kind of quivers but doesn't quite contract, then we call that fibrillate or fibrillation.
So if a patient is going into asystole, what waves are they missing? Or is it just flatline completely?
Yes.
It's not a premature
right.
QEG wave?
Yeah. Rocky KG is another time. Another time. We're not doing ECGs now. So, any other questions about the cardiac cycle?